Good morning and welcome to the St. Gabriel Radio Sacred Heart Hour here in the studios, joining you live. This is Father Stosh Daly, joined by Chuck and Joanne Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As we enter into this Sacred Heart Hour here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, that means we are in the first Friday of the month. And so we'll begin this hour and this day by praying the morning offering prayer, and we invite you to join us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls, reparation for sin, and the reunion of all Christians. I offer them for the intentions of our bishops and of all apostles of prayer, and in particular, for those recommended by our Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Chuck and Joanne, we're joining each other live here in the studios
we
of St. Gabriel Radio
are.
On this first Friday of the month of April.
April.
Man. Okay, we're in April.
Yes.
Had to remind myself. And it's not only the first Friday of the month, which means it's the day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but we're also within the octave of Easter, and that means we're in that eight-day period of living the fullness of glory on Easter Sunday each of these days. So we're basically reliving the reality of the resurrection from Easter Sunday each of these days, these 8 days, this octave leading up to the second Sunday of Easter, which is now Divine Mercy Sunday. And it gives us an opportunity to kind of delve deep into the life of Jesus risen from the dead. And also to not only bask in his glory, but to kind of open our minds and our hearts to the reality of his life and the reality of his heart, his most sacred heart. And I think that's just something good for us to begin with in this hour on this first Friday of the month, is living his heart, living his life.
And we need to be reminded of that octave, Father, because it's so easy to say, okay, Easter's over. And, you know, that was Sunday, and this is Monday. But the daily readings, too, are so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of, you know, Peter's witness and our Lord appearing, and just that time to just, you know, just kind of bask.
Right.
Bask in the gift.
Well, and I think also these readings really reinforce our faith, the resurrection.
Totally.
And I think so often, Father, we shortchange that.
Yeah.
We go to Good Friday, to Easter Sunday, okay, he's risen, and then we move on versus really going deeper
into
letting him appear to the apostles and keeping that resurrection alive.
No, it's so true. It's like, okay, we had Good Friday, like you said, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, and then Easter Monday is like taxes. Taxes are due. It's like, okay, they are eventually, but Jesus came back from the dead. So that's our true source of hope. And actually, it's a deep wellspring for all of the virtues we need. But hope, most importantly, you know, if you think about our own lives and the people we know, our family members and our neighbors and our friends, there's a lot of people who, though they may struggle, they have faith to some degree. But I think when you look at how we live today, the reality is most people, while they have faith to some degree, they're struggling to maintain hope. And that's what's leading to the despair and that sense of being lost or defeated. But in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the victory is his. And for us to have that sense of hope, you know, even if it's just to get out of bed in the morning, like me this morning, or it's just putting one foot in front of the other, or going back into the office, you know, and you're like, I know what's waiting for me there. You know, we have to have a sense of mission, but that mission in our lives, it comes from having the reality, the virtue of hope. And our hope is restored when we just think about Jesus Christ risen from the dead.
You know, Father, I was at Sam's Club yesterday, and in our culture, how, you know, everyone says, oh, how are you? And everyone says, fine. Even if you're at the doctor's office.
True.
You know, if I was
even
fine,
if I'm not fine,
I wouldn't
be here.
I know,
it's so true. I know. Hello.
So, but I have a suggestion. It was something that came into my mind, and I just maybe invite you to try it. When someone says, how are you? Say, fine, he is risen. And they look at you like, he is risen. It's Easter.
It's true.
It's Easter.
Yeah.
And so because it keeps it alive, which is true, but it's a little witness. I am fine. He is risen.
It's true.
All is well.
I think you're going to be my travel buddy because you can say that much better than I can. My uniform tends to like put the fear of God in people.
Well, you say it in your uniform, Father. You don't need to say
You'll
it.
You'll be my walking, talking ray of sunshine. He is risen.
Well, I invite the listeners to, instead of, you know, we are a Merry Christmas and to say, he is risen.
It's true. That is our greeting in this time period. He is risen. Indeed, he is risen. That's the response. Absolutely.
And also, as we begin, for our listeners maybe just tuning in, this is the Sacred Heart Hour program. And we're going to talk in the beginning about, again, the importance of the enthronement and re-enthronement during this Easter season. And you talked about the octave, but then Easter continues.
It goes on. Praise God. Well, I mean, keep in mind, like, we were in Lent for 40 days, give or take.
Was it only 40?
It seemed like longer. You know, I think we began when I was four, and now I'm 42. So you're right. I mean, it goes long, and praise God, we need that journey.
We do.
But you know, like Bishop said at a day of prayer for a group of people from the Communal Liberation Movement, he said, you know, Lent isn't just a preparation for Easter; it's a preparation for eternity. But then guess what? The Easter season, it's living eternity. It's living the glory of the victory of Jesus over the dead, over the darkness, over death and despair, and even, to be honest with you, over the powers of this world. And so the Easter season will go all the way up until that absolutely amazing, glorious moment in time, which we remember when we pray the rosary, that's Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But by no means is it boring between now and then. I mean, we have the life of the Lord to live.
Well, it's also the time to really understand the heart.
Totally. Absolutely.
We're going to talk about St. Margaret Mary in 1673, 350 years ago, our Lord appearing to her with his heart outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart had the flame, Father,
but
it also had the cross.
It's true. Yeah.
So we got to go to Good Friday to go to Easter.
But see, for those of us who live the resurrection, we realize on Good Friday, it's not the end. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why we're able to survive Good Friday.
True.
You know, for those of us who were able to make it to veneration of the cross and the passion narrative and receive our Lord, maybe make the stations of the cross, whatever we were able to do on Good Friday, you know, it takes a certain amount of guts to live Good Friday. But you can only do it if you know he's going to come back from the dead.
John was there at the cross.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
And Father, the theory behind that is going back to the Last Supper.
Yeah. Well, the reality is, like you are alluding to, he embraced the Lord and he placed his head upon the chest of the Lord and heard his heartbeat. But it's interesting, you know, John drew close to Jesus at the Last Supper, which we remember every year on Holy Thursday, because Peter told him, go and find out who's going to betray. Which one among us is going to betray the Lord? And John, I mean, you got to love John.
He's the youngest.
He's the youngest.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
John.
he's not just the youngest. He's a teenage boy. And so, you know, Peter, Prince of the 12, you know, he could have just said, Lord, cough it up. Who is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take him out back. No, instead he goes to the teenager and is like, John, do what you do and do it best, you know?
Yeah.
What does John do? John, in order to find out who's going to betray the master, he who is Jesus, you know, he embraces the Lord first. And I think there's something powerful in that. Before we ask for the grace to know, let's first embrace the Lord. Because a lot of people, just by
good,
that,
Father.
I, you know, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of us, we want to know, but we don't take the time to embrace the Lord first. And it's the embrace with the Lord that allows us to have that virtue of fortitude and perseverance in the midst of what's going to unfold. And we learned so much from the beauty of the Apostle St. John. Let us embrace the Lord first. Let us not just embrace him, but listen to his heart, like John did at the Last Supper. And then we know there's going to be moments of betrayal. We know there's going to be moments of pain and agony, you know? And yet he was able to survive it. And not just survive it, but like you said, Chuck, he made it to the brow of the hill of Calvary, to the foot of the cross. And he didn't just make it to the foot of the cross. He stood next to the Holy Virgin Mary. I mean, that took guts, especially when his biological mother is also standing there, Salome.
Yeah.
So his mother is there, but he's standing next to the mother of Jesus. I mean, to look at a young man who had just that wisdom, But where did that wisdom and strength, that fortitude, those guts come from, if not first from embracing the Lord at the Last Supper? So if you need to survive something in your life, embrace the heart of the Lord. Embrace the Lord.
That is so powerful, Father. And that is beautiful. Thank you. I never thought about that. And that's the beauty of listening to Catholic radio, of just learning new things, listening to how the Holy Spirit works through the programming. And that makes so much sense. It's very powerful.
And also, Father, we know that St. Margaret Mary received a number of apparitions.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of them was, wherever the image of my Sacred Heart is publicly exposed in honor, I will pour out graces of sanctification and salvation. I will touch unfeeling hearts. I will reignite divided families. I will help them in all their needs. And that's from our Lord.
Right.
But he doesn't say it's going to be easy.
That's the, no.
It's not easy.
It's not even a footnote.
And it's not even a footnote. No. And it doesn't say it's going to happen in 24 hours.
Right. Yeah.
That's why we have to live our life.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the Lord is saying, honor my Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
Expose my Sacred Heart. Now honor it, re-enthrone. But yeah, you still have problems at home.
Yeah.
Some of your children have left the church. Some of your children maybe have gone through a divorce, or you've gone through a divorce. The question is, he wants us to just go back to that heart.
Right.
And stay consistent.
And that's just what Father was saying.
And not let go.
And not let go.
You know, I think also maybe even a more personal level, like how many of us really struggle at times in our own heart to believe, and yet we know. We know enough that he is there and he is the Lord. And a lot of us today have just been overwhelmed by this tidal wave of, just kind of self-centeredness, to where we think, well, if it's not feeling good, then I need to change it up.
And
it's
like, negativity.
But we have to embrace the Lord and not let go. And and even if there's not consolation in the moment or the next, we have to persevere and you cling to the Lord. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the Easter season for those of us who, you know, are trying to live it. And we don't try to live it 40 days, 50 days at a time. We try to live it in the next moment, right now and the next, you know?
And that's the importance of the enthronement. And for those listening for the first time, you can go on welcomeisheart.com, find out more information, come to St. Gabriel, and there's a table there with information on it. But the one thing about enthroning your home, then you have made Jesus the King, brother, and friend of your home. And it's three easy steps, or it's five easy steps, but 3 days of preparation. And then through those five steps, the final one is enthroning your home to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know, Joanne and I, a lot of you are still waiting to do this, or a lot of you are just tuning in. And if you're like Joanne and I, 1990, we knew nothing about it, but we were invited. Someone asked us, would you like to have your home enthroned? And we said, yes.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the theology behind it, Father.
Right. Or even the familiarity.
Yeah.
It was an invitation, right?
An invitation.
Yeah.
And so a lot of you just trust in our Lord, particularly with Divine Mercy Sunday coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a perfect time to either start your enthronement, re-enthrone, find out more about it by going to Welcome His Heart, but by enthroning your home. And this is why I think it's so important, Father. From Fatima, we had this quote: the decisive battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be over marriage and the family.
It's here.
Isn't it? Are we seeing it?
Yeah, it's so true.
And so what we're saying is, he's given us a tool.
Yeah.
That we can now take home,
right?
Go to Mass every Sunday, go to Mass during the week when you can, but also when you come home, you've enthroned your home, and every time you go by Jesus, you can just offer up to his heart whatever is on your heart and say, Jesus, make my heart like your heart.
And, you know, I especially look to the seniors And as Chuck always said, the children love their mother, they watch their father. Mm. Well, you know, we are seniors, and at that time of our life, naturally, there are other issues, health issues. Mm. And our children have said to us, Mom, we're watching you and Dad, because how are you handling this? And surgeries and doctor's appointments and bodies breaking down. And it's like, we're watching you. And I thought, oh, no, this is not good. But it is an opportunity.
It's true.
It's
yeah.
never Absolutely. Too late. It's never too late. When you are a grandparent or are you are up in age and you have, you know, people who love you, you love to model for them and get it right yourself. It's never too late to enthrone. It's not even, you know, you're alone. I'm in the nursing home. I'm in my condo. That's great. That's your home. That's your household.
Yeah.
Enthrone it, but then honor it and then spread it. Mm. And you never know what those words, what those prayers, what that example will do for generations.
It's true.
And yeah. if you're on Divine Mercy Sunday, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Coming up this Sunday, and you have a young family, and you've enthroned your home, re-enthroned
Great
your home.
Great time.
Yeah.
Let them know that Jesus is the king of that home, and so forth. And so remember, our website again is welcomeisheart.com. We welcome all our new listeners, and we're just part of helping you along the way that people helped us along the way. Mm. That's what this program is about. And also, people will say, well, why do you have the program on First Friday? And maybe, Father, help people understand. And I have this quote here. First Friday devotion comes from Good Friday.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, the practical reason why we have a show on First Friday is because Dave is too tired to continue the morning cafe. So this is his day break in the divine providence. Now, it took us a while to realize that, but nevertheless.
We give him a break.
It's true. And he's joining us, you know, in the peanut
he's
gallery
not
to my left.
He's not breaking when he's here.
But the reality is, you know, it's absolutely what you said. On the first Friday of the month, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his own words, he wants that day set aside as a day of honoring, venerating and respecting his heart. Now, of course, today, here's a perfect clue in. Today, we're in the octave, right? So every day of these 8 days, from Easter Sunday to Divine Mercy Sunday, we live every day as if it's Easter Sunday. No penances. You know, we bask in the glory of the risen Savior. And but today, even though it's Friday, and we're basking in the glory of the risen Savior, and it's the octave, and we're just...
We still bask?
We're still basking.
All right.
But that doesn't mean we can't make acts of reparation.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can go to Holy Mass today. We can make a good confession today. You know, we can spend time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, whether the Lord is reserved in the tabernacle or he's exposed for adoration and a monstrance. But we can offer up those prayers, those graces that we receive through those prayers and those sacraments, we can offer those up as an act of reparation. So we might still be, you know, basking in the glory of the risen Savior and, you know, maybe not make use of our normal penances on this Friday, but we can still make an act of reparation. I mean, if you could just think reparation and think repair. You know, we're just making an act of repair for the relationship between humanity and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Easter season. And while we wish everybody was living this moment with us, we know not everyone is. And while we wish everyone who had been baptized and received the Lord was living this moment, we know not everyone is doing that. But for those who may be wounded or scarred or lost or just far from the Lord, but they might look at him with angst or anger or disrespect, or God forbid, maybe even blasphemy, we rise up and make an act of reparation in that reality to repair that relationship. And we let the Lord know, you know, you have come back from the dead. You are victorious, but we're not taking it for granted. We're living that. And the first Friday of the month was called for by the Lord Jesus Christ and his conversations with St. Margaret Mary. And it's a really a powerful way of living in the present moment. Well, you know, living also, in the present moment.
Also a great way to prepare yourself to meet the Lord. And he gave us, as Father said, this is all part of these 3 years of our Lord appearing to St. Margaret Mary 350 years ago. He gave us his heart. Then he gave us First Friday, we call 9 consecutive First Fridays. Mm. So the graces you receive. And he said, well, why don't you read that, Joanne, the 12th promise of the Sacred Heart that he gave to St. Margaret Mary.
It's so beautiful. I promise you in the unfathomable mercy of my heart that my omnipotent love will procure the grace of final penance for all those who receive communion on 9 successive First Fridays of the month. They will not die in my displeasure. The grace of final repentance, or without having received the sacraments, since my divine heart will be their sure refuge in the last moments of their life. That's incredible, Father.
That's true. Well, and those are the words of the Lord.
Here's the way I looked at it. You're going to buy an insurance policy. Oh, yeah, we're going to leave money to our family. Right, Father?
Hopefully.
They hope. Yeah.
But what greater insurance policy can you have than the 12th promise?
It's
9 consecutive First Fridays. And I think for Joanne and I, we were woken up on Easter Day to a phone call.
Terrible.
Never wanted to hear this phone call about a nephew whose wife never woke up on Easter.
My.
And they had 4 young children from 2 to 10. And they never expected on Easter Sunday
of all days
that he would wake up and put all the eggs out and come back, and his wife never woke.
Wow.
And they had to deal with this loss, and a tremendous loss. And why I'm so passionate about this, Father, is everybody listening, we don't know that hour we're going to be called.
It's true.
But we know if we're faithful to the 12th promise, then the Lord will give us he'll give us the sacraments that we need, since my divine heart will be their sure refuge in their last moments of their life.
Yeah. You know what's beautiful about the 12th promise is the Lord is not asking us to stop living our life. And just like camp out in front of the tabernacle, you know, and he's not saying now come to the church and never leave again.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's asking us to live our life, but what he's doing is just like periodically come back to me, periodically make an intentional effort to come back to me outside of, you know, above and beyond the normal prescript of living the fullness of your Christian life. So, you know, come back on that Friday, that first Friday of the month, just come back. And make a special visit and pray the Mass and receive me in Holy Communion.
And think about the graces you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one thing if you're saying, like, just camp out in the church for the rest of your life. Well, we all know that's not practical, and that's not what he's asking. He's just asking, once a month, make an intentional visit to me on Friday. Remember my love for you. And then on that Friday, come and give it back to me and how you love me.
And don't then also have regrets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't have regrets of loved ones or even, you know, people that God has put in your life that could I have done more? Could I have done more to encourage them to enthrone their home?
Yeah.
Could I have been that vehicle that then maybe even sent them a kit?
Right.
Or, you know, signed them up for the newsletter? And because there'll come a time when it's too late.
Yeah.
And don't you carry in your heart a special sorrow that I think Chuck and I are carrying in our heart for this particular family.
Yeah.
Because they're out there and they need you.
Yep.
And they need you to even be rejected, you know, maybe the first time, second time. But stay the course. Persevere, and first pray, and then let the Lord in His perfect timing. And also remember, we do have a Lord of mercy and love, and I love Divine Mercy Sunday, Father,
just
coming
around the corner.
Up. I know.
You know, and I think for our listeners, again, you can go to Welcome His Heart for a lot of the information. But we also, If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, it comes out once a month. Keep the flame burning. All you have to do is go to Welcome His Heart and put in your email address, and you'll get that. And it just continues to have great articles, ways that you can go deeper with the Sacred Heart. And I think that's what our mission is to spread the good news that our Lord gave us His heart. He said to everybody, I want it exposed and honored. And also, Joanne, other ways that they can maybe go deeper.
Well, actually, I was thinking of our donor support. I was thinking of that we are 100% supported by your generosity, by your being a supporter, monthly supporter, or one time, because we need you to help us to spread this devotion. And but just know that we are here for you, and that any way we can help you, that's what we're here for. Mm. So that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and I also, for people that the Apostles called Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, and not only do we serve the Diocese of Columbus, but also beyond that, and even beyond the United States, where hearts are being changed. And the other way to go deeper is the two books that our executive director, national director, has written, Emily Jaminette, Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus, Promise in Your Life, or Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. And you can order on our website. And the nice thing is both books now have been recognized by the Catholic media.
Award-winning
Catholic media. So I think what we're saying is use this to go deeper into the love of Christ. And we're just a vessel for 350 years. We're a vessel today continuing to promote what people have been promoting for these past 350 years.
And sometimes people say, well, I don't have the words. This is just not, this would make me just anxious. And okay, well, there are other ways to do it. Mm. I know we have weddings coming up. You know, you can give them the beautiful gift box with the framed images, the books. You can be that way of spreading the message. But you know, be a disciple. Be one who does share the good news. And this is good news.
It's true. Yeah. No, I think I like the words of St. Francis de Sales. Very simple, to the point. Just be who you are and be that well.
Oh,
you know,
that's
and if
profound.
We if we are disciples and we are confident in the Lord and we are men and women who do possess hope.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean, like the tragedy that hit your family and then wrestling with all of the emotions within the heart. It's like, okay, what greater opportunity, what greater example is there of like, well, what keeps us going if not the hope that we have in the resurrection of the Lord? And it's the little things, right? I mean, just the other day, I was at dinner with a friend, and we were not being ostentatious or, you know, flamboyant or loud and, you know, pushing things on people. No. You know, we just said our grace before meals. Little just prayer. It was just, you know, three or four of us, and we said our grace before meal at this restaurant. Like I said, it wasn't anything we were pushing on the whole restaurant, but the waitress happened to be around the corner. And, of course, she saw my caller, and she knows a priest. That didn't trigger anything. What triggered a conversation was saying the grace before meals and the sign of the cross. And the waitress walked up and she said, you know, my life's a mess. Would you mind just pray for me?
Wow.
I was like, well, we'll absolutely pray for you. And I just happened in my lapel pocket, I had a holy card of St. Joseph from the month of March. I just said, well, here, I'm just going to give this to you as a little gift. Nothing huge, nothing fancy. But the prayer on the back is really quite powerful. And it's the old prayer to St. Joseph, where we ask St. Joseph to whisper our intentions into the ear of the sleeping Christ child. And, you know, and I mean, the individual was just so deeply moved. And of course, my friends are like, do you always have a calling card available? I said, well, today I just happened to. I said, but don't you find it amazing that my Roman collar isn't what triggered that openness, that vulnerability? It was the sign of the cross and the prayer. So it's the little things. If we just be who we are, men and women of hope because of the resurrection, men and women of the heart of Jesus, you know, things, amazing things will happen. But the amazing things are always going to be the little things that are amazing.
And Father, I noticed you have two pockets. So we have the holy card to the Sacred Heart that you can put next to your heart. But truly, we have now printed hundreds of thousands. That's a great suggestion to even, you know, keep on your person, keep in your glove compartment, and always be ready to share that.
It's true.
Yep. Okay, I think we've come.
We flew through a lot. So this first segment of the Sacred Heart Hour
is coming to a close.
So we'll close with a prayer that we don't get fired over the break. And most Holy Heart of Jesus, Fountain of every blessing, I adore you. I love you, and with a lively sorrow for my sins, I offer you this poor heart of mine. Make me humble, patient, pure, and wholly obedient to your will. Grant, good Jesus, that I may live in you and for you. Protect me in the midst of danger. Comfort me in my afflictions. Give me health of body, assistance in my temporal needs, your blessing in all that I do, and the grace of a holy death. Amen.
Amen.
In Matthew 13, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price that a merchant would sell everything he has to buy." You know, if you think about it, God loves you that way. You're his pearl of great price. He gave everything for you. And he wants you to love him and other people the same way. The pearl of great price costs you. You know, of all the crazy things that came out of the sexual revolution, the dumbest is the notion of free love, a love that doesn't cost you anything. I prefer real love. Real love binds itself to the beloved. Real love demands the sacrifice of your time, your attention, your self-centeredness, your thinking. Real love leads to vocations and vows that bind you to priesthood or religious life or marriage. Real love leads to committed and rewarding friendships. It makes us fathers, brothers, spouses. It makes us human. Real love's the path to real life. And while it's anything but free, it's also the only path to real freedom. This is Chris Stefanik from Real Life Catholic.
There was no single event. It was more gradual.
My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete.
When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture.
I wouldn't be the spouse, I wouldn't be the father, wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Good morning and welcome back to the Sacred Heart Hour here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This show is a live show.
Yes, it is.
Coming directly to you from St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. And this is Father Stosh Daly, joined live by Chuck and Joanne Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
If you're hearing us live from the studios, that means it is the first Friday of the month. It's the first Friday of the month of April. And as we're in the Easter season, we have so much to consider as we spend this time with one another, just kind of meditating upon, delving deep into the riches of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially during this Easter season. We invite you, as we enter into this second segment of the Sacred Heart Hour, to renew your relationship with the Lord, especially his most Sacred Heart. And so together, we just offer a prayer of renewal. Dear Sacred Heart of Jesus, we renew our pledge of love and loyalty to you. Keep us always close to your loving heart and to the most immaculate heart of your mother. May we love one another more each day, forgiving each other's faults as you forgive us our sins. Teach us to see you in the members of our family and those we meet outside the home, loving them as you love them, especially the poor and oppressed, that we may be instrumental in bringing about justice and peace. Help us carry our cross daily out of love for you, and help us strengthen this love by frequent participation in the celebration of the Eucharist. We thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings of the day. Protect us and all families in the night ahead, and help us to live that we might get to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, I know coming up this Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, and I think maybe help our listeners a little bit with the connection of the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy and why it's only one heart.
Right, right, right. So, of course, you know, this in this program, especially today, we've been mentioning a lot of names. A lot of names of amazing saints, of course, you know, St. John the Apostle, St. Margaret Mary, who, you know, had her conversation with the Lord 350 years ago. And then, of course, now we're taking a little bit of a turn and we're going to focus on another amazing saint, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. And St. Faustina, of course, had her experience of the Lord when he appeared to her, but he revealed to St. Faustina what today we refer to as the Divine Mercy Devotion. And the Divine Mercy Devotion is, I mean, it's none other. It's one and the same as the reality of the depth of the heart of Jesus. But what's interesting is, like, you know, humanity is really quite stubborn. Hmm. You know, so when the Lord came to St. Maria Faustina and spoke to her about the incredible need for mercy, but not just mercy, but a divine mercy. Not, I say I forgive, but I remember and I recall and I have a grudge.
Yeah.
But no, I forgive and I forget. That's the reality of divine mercy. You know, and I remember years and years ago, a teacher saying, well, you know, we all have to forgive, but the true difficulty is learning how to let go and ultimately forget. But that's not a difficulty for the Lord, you know? And so in his time spent with St. Maria Faustina, we not only, of course, receive an incredible catechesis on the depth of mercy and love that the Lord has for humanity, but we also learn that this mercy and love issue and pour forth from his heart. You know, St. Faustina had an apparition of the Sacred Heart when she was looking up into the skies. She saw the heart of Jesus, the fountain of this love, this mercy. And in our own age, I think that's an incredible, for lack of a better way to put it, but, you know, we live in a very commercial time. It's kind of like a selling point. People know they need forgiven. People know they need to be restored. People know they need mercy. The tragedy is they might not know those words anymore, you know, and to help them kind of reawaken or come back to life in God's mercy, that's powerful. And in this Easter season, it gives us an opportunity to realize that the Lord asked for the Sunday following Easter Sunday, the Sunday following, you know, that moment when he takes life back from the clutches of darkness and death. He wants us to come back to him and enter into his mercy, right? And make, and of course, there's a hinge here. And I don't want this to turn people off, and I don't want this to be too heavy and sink people. But the hinge is we have to acknowledge we need his mercy.
I think that's so true, Father.
We need confession. You know, and here's a good a gauge. If you've been listening to what we've been talking about, whether for a couple of minutes or since we entered live into the program at the top of the hour, and you're thinking, I'm just not there. I'm not able to be forgiven. I don't know how to make a good confession. I don't know what the Sacred Heart means. I don't know who St. Margaret Mary, whoever, who's that? Why are we talking about something from 350 years ago? Why do these people talk as if it's so easy to have, and yet I don't even know where to begin? The beginning point is make a good confession. And the harder it is to get to make a confession, the more important it is. You know?
I'm sure, Father, we have people listening, and they're saying, okay, yes, but how do I make a good confession?
Yeah, I'm one of them. You know, I continue to ask myself, like, Lord, teach me how to make a good confession.
So, so if they go to you, Father, and they've never been.
We have a lot of priests, though, so
there's
a lot of lines.
Yes.
Chuck, thank you for your confidence.
There's a compassion with the priest.
Oh, totally.
To help lead them through it.
Yeah, and most of our confessionals have the sign grump hanging outside of the priest as a grump, you know? You can oh, you know what it's like? You know when you're looking for a place to go to dinner? You go to the restaurant with the full parking lot. You don't go to the one that's empty, okay? You go to the confessional that's got the long line. You don't go to the one that everyone's skipping to save their souls and their life and their joy. That's where you see the sign grump. Now, most of them, they're no longer hearing confessions. So don't worry about it, right? Go to the place that's got the line. That's a good sign. It's like the restaurant, good food. Go to the confessional, long line, good confessor. Most of the priests, all of the priests today, they know Jesus and they know how much he wants you and loves you. And they rejoice when you come. Now, they might sigh when you're like, my worst sin is throwing popcorn at the wall. You're like, what the what? You know?
Let's but, go you know, a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, okay, great. What else? You know? But, you know, the beautiful thing is the Lord is, he's compelling his priest today to be his agents of mercy. And it doesn't matter if it's a priest that everyone knows of or it's the priest that no one's ever heard of. Right. That priest is an agent of mercy.
Yeah.
And they just rejoice at the fact that you have responded to the Lord's love for you.
But don't you think, now I don't know, of course I don't know, but you know, our Lord first really appearing to not just St. Margaret Mary, but all throughout, you know, salvation history.
Absolutely.
His love. Yeah. But the more we know God's love for us,
yeah,
the more we know God's love, I believe for myself personally too, the more I realize the mercy I need.
Yes, it's true.
The more aware yeah. I am for, like you say, confession,
yeah.
you know, it's so easy for me to go to confession.
Yeah.
And because I go regularly. And so your conscience helps you.
Yeah.
And but it's but then you know the joy.
Yeah.
When I grew up with the sisters, they had a great
that was
way.
Years ago.
I know,
Father.
Back in the well, it was wonderful.
Wow.
Age.
I'm slain in the spirit.
I know. And but
I just
they,
wanted to clarify
well,
for people.
They used a powerful visual. And I don't even know, do they have blackboards like they did back
they
in
do,
the day?
They do, but now they're electronic.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had blackboards. And, you know, sister, after a long day, and everyone's writing on and the math problems and diagramming sentences and all that, would take an opportunity sometime to teach about confession and to then erase the blackboard. Board, or even have a little water on the eraser so you really erase. And so it was a visual. It was a beautiful visual.
That's true.
Of our Lord in that sacrament, the what is forgiveness. And just like, wow, you know, this is a fresh start.
That's true.
There's a clean slate here. And it was very powerful.
Well, what a beautiful moment to use
yeah.
even a simple gesture like cleaning the chalkboard to
right.
help children realize that's what the Lord's doing in confession.
Yeah.
He's cleaning.
Exactly.
He's wiping everything away.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and for that listener, for that member of our family who's listening right now, and you might
maybe
be intimidated.
Fallen away.
Or fallen away. And you're like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Let the priest know, Father, I know I'm supposed to be here, but I don't know where to begin.
Or get a good book.
Yeah.
Examination.
But don't read it during confession because
no.
Father might
no.
be reading one too. And you need to take that book from Father.
No, but I think what he's saying, Joanne, just show up.
Yeah.
Show
and
up.
Father will
show
help
up.
Lead you through
yeah.
it.
Now, if you've been there like 5 minutes ago, don't. Yeah, because there's probably going to be a line. Yeah. And go through the drive-thru only when you need to. Okay?
All right. One other question, Father. Divine Mercy, Novena, and a Chaplet.
So powerful. And actually, we're in the middle of the Divine Mercy Novena because it started on Good Friday, and it leads us to that day
of
mercy.
And our Lord requested that.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what's so amazing is like the Lord is always letting us know what we need in the moment, right? He gives us his heart. He lets us know that his love, the love that comes from his heart, catches our attention. But the mercy that comes from his heart is what helps us to take another step towards him.
What I really get out of it, and again, you know, I'm the convert.
Oh, he
so
plays that card.
So two things have happened in my, well, many things have happened. But one thing Joanne was talking about were examples to our family.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're watching us.
Totally.
Well, they also are saying to me, just offer it up, Dad. You know, I'm in yeah. pain. I can't even touch a hand. I just had back surgery. I'm in pain. Just offer it up.
But it's
so,
true.
When you're in the Catholic club, you realize that. When I was Protestant, I didn't have to worry about those things.
You know what admission is to the Catholic club?
Yeah.
Confession.
Confession.
Oh,
that's all
I
it
like
takes.
That.
I like that.
And it's free.
It's totally free.
Okay, Father. Yeah. These are some of the questions I think people out there might be thinking about. Number one, do I have to pray the Divine Mercy Novena every day to receive the grace on Divine Mercy Sunday?
No, but it's a powerful way to kind of open yourself up to the reality of Divine Mercy Sunday.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. That's a good one. Now, the second question is, I went to confession for Easter 5 weeks before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I need to go back to confession for Divine Mercy Sunday? Because it's usually within a reasonable time, 7 days before or after.
That's an excellent question. Chuck, does Joanne need to go back to confession for Divine Mercy Sunday?
Yes. Yes.
Because I think if we ask those who know us so well, and they love us in spite of knowing us so well, it's like, do I need to go back? That look says it all. Now, yes, but like we were, you know, on break, I said, you know, going to confession in preparation for Easter during the experience of Lent, that's doing the deep clean.
Mm.
But then when it comes to Divine Mercy Sunday, whether we've gone already or we haven't, just to make use of the Lord's mercy. And keep in mind, we're not taking advantage or making a mockery of the sacrament. Mm. We're basking in the glory of the Lord.
Right.
And a lot of people, and I've got friends, you know, and there have been years where it was me. I got caught up in everything for Easter Sunday. I was supposed to go on Good Friday. I wanted to go on Good Friday. Didn't make it. And that's, I mean, the Lord knows our humanity more than we know our humanity. So it's an opportunity to just go. And we don't have to wait till Divine Mercy Sunday. We can make a good confession today with Divine Mercy Sunday in mind, or tomorrow with it in mind. If we go and the line's really long, don't forget, you know, the church is incredibly faithful to the abundance of Divine Mercy. We can go and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, participate in a special service at church for Divine Mercy Sunday in the afternoon, and then we might have to go to confession the Monday after. And we just let the priest know, I'm offering this up for participation in Divine Mercy Sunday. You know, our humanity wants to, like, hem things in, and yet the Lord is always trying to open things up.
But it seems like the Lord also allows us a part, that we also have a part to say yes.
Oh, totally.
To make the effort to pray the prayer.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that it's not just, you know, you just sit on the couch and let it happen.
Right.
That we also have to participate.
Well, with every expression of love and mercy, there's what? Love and responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be the desire to receive it.
Yeah.
But there's a responsibility that comes with love. You know, and the reality
effort.
Is, from the Lord's perspective, there's a mercy that comes from with his love. But with us, there has to be responsibility in the love we have for him.
Well, and I think for those listening and this chaplet, what it's done for me is you go 9 days.
So
but
powerful.
Each day you're praying for
a different group
of people.
It's true. The Divine Mercy Chaplet's
amazing. It's almost like it covers everyone that I've known in my entire life over 9 days.
Yep.
Or
praying. Go ahead, Chuck.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I got excited.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say that if you have a friend who's a shut-in, like we do, my brother, is that we've been calling him every day, and it's so easy to put your phone on speaker, and that, you know, it's a way for people long distance to also participate.
It's so true.
And, I'm sad that we have not done this in years past because it's been such a grace for him and for us. And I think of all the other people out there.
Yeah.
No, that's been a gift. Now, Father, we're going to go right to past Divine Mercy Sunday, right to April 8th.
Wow.
Oh.
So, because the Annunciation of the Lord, which is just a powerful, beautiful solemnity, fell on March 25th, and that was in Holy Week, and the drama of everything that's so special to us as Christians, the church transferred it to April 8th, not losing any of its power or significance, but the church wants us to bask in the glory of that particular solemnity. Now, the Annunciation of the Lord is one of the huge experiences of the church because it's the Incarnation. A lot of us tend to think of the Annunciation just with regard to the Hail Mary, you know, because that's where the angelic salutation takes place. But the reality is that's when divine life takes root among us in the flesh, and Jesus becomes present in the womb of Our Lady. And in an age like our own, where everything is just kind of thrown up in the air and nothing is sacred anymore, the dignity of anybody and everybody is just called into question, what greater time than our own for the church to put an even greater emphasis on the Annunciation of the Lord. God is dwelling among us in utero, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
The dignity of human life.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. So we have the Annunciation of the Lord this year, but it's been transferred to April 8th because the original date, March 25th, fell during Holy Week. And of course, you know, following the idea of the novena, the significance of numbers, 9 months later is then, of course, the birth of the Lord in the Nativity. And I've always kind of wondered, you know, the church, and rightfully so, she goes all out in celebrating the Nativity. But knowing the precious reality, the sanctity and the dignity of human life in the womb, the unborn child, the Annunciation of the Lord is just as powerful of a feast day.
Well, I wonder what's the significance of the eclipse, of the total eclipse that we will experience, you know.
On the same day.
On the same day.
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, what are you telling us here?
Right.
You know, what's the message? Not to read in something that isn't,
right?
But to not miss something that is.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're going to be thrown into darkness for a moment, and then what's going to happen? The light is going to overcome it the next moment.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that the Annunciation? Humanity was in the darkness, and then the Lord became present, and the light started to grow.
Oh, Father, that's great.
Well, you kind of threw a boomerang at me, so I had to come up with something fast.
I knew you would. I knew you would. And you did.
Now, we also, on April 21st, we have the Good Shepherd Sunday. And both Joanne and I...
I don't remember that. Is that new? Calling it Good Shepherd Sunday?
Well, for a church that's 2,000 years old, I think we can say that. Yeah.
It's only been 1,000 years. Is that what you're going to tell me?
What's with all these boomerangs being thrown at?
I mean,
this is the struggle of a live radio show. And yes, we are actually having this much fun. I know.
Yes. It's always the fourth Sunday of Easter.
It's true, yeah.
Joanne has missed that growing up, I guess.
I missed that lesson.
Now,
I must have
been
sick.
Is that a wonderful way to celebrate our priesthood, Father?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to remember that the Lord is present among us through the priesthood.
That's what I thought.
You know, and I think there's a very natural hang-up, especially with just all of everybody's issues today. It's like we let the priest get in the way. No, it's how the Lord remains present among us, shepherding us through the priesthood. And then, of course, the priesthood does what? Makes the Lord present among us in the Holy Eucharist. And, you know, to understand the reality of the Good Shepherd, and not just like the one who has many, but the one who knows the names of each of the many, you know.
And goes after them.
I mean, it shows the perseverance of the Lord. He will not be outdone. And the Lord remains among us through his priest.
Well, and that's one of the gifts that we have with our priest.
Wow.
And I think for a lot of our listeners, that is something that we can continue to honor our priest and thank them. Because, you know, whether I know, Father, it's 24 hours a day and 5-7 days a week, and you're always on call.
Yeah.
And it's just like what happened on Sunday morning.
It's true.
When the priest had to come.
But, I mean, it's the same for any mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, by the mere fact you're open to life, you're always on call.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's an amazing
being
gift.
Being a good shepherd.
Yeah.
And if one of our children are down, we go after that one that's down.
Sure.
To get them back. Well, that's great. And then the other one, let's see, is, well, we have St. Mark coming up, April 25th. I always think of that. Because of my brother's birthday is April 25th. But
that's a good day to pray for him.
The Holy Father is going to be in Venice on the Feast of St. Mark.
Sure, because he's the patron saint of Venice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
Mark's gospel is the shortest of the four, and yet sometimes gets the longest of the homilies.
Huh. That's interesting.
That's more dependent upon the priest.
Yes.
But if you like a short gospel, go to Mark.
And there's always a question, who wrote Mark?
Mark. I'm of the old school. Mark wrote Mark's gospel. I know. I'm not very creative.
And he also helped. He was a good companion of Peter's.
Exactly. And he was shaped in the gospel, really, by both Peter and Paul.
Right.
And his gospel was uniquely and distinctly for a Roman audience, which probably explains some of the brevity in his gospel, because he goes right to the point. because he knows the culture of Rome, the sensibility of the Roman people was, you know, there's a lot of people claiming to have the one true way. But the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed risen from the dead. You know, that was the brilliance of Marcus or Mark in his gospel. He just kind of, like with a pinpoint, zoomed in, pointed to the Lord, and zoomed out. There's a brilliance to his brevity.
Well, you know, Chuck, when you mentioned the Holy Father's going to be in Venice, it really kind of made me realize the gift of EWTN, and that I would be very surprised if they did not televise that. But to really tune in, like during Holy Week with the stations, you know, and all the special programming and the programming of Catholic radio, and, you know, during these times, we need to be aware of what's happening in the church, to be connected to our feast days and our holy days. And so we need to make that effort to tune in.
It's true.
And we have so many wonderful opportunities. So,
you know,
put
Father,
a plug in.
I'm reading this quote from Mark, and when you say he gets right to the point, this is Mark 1:14-15. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
That's what you're saying, Father.
What a way to close the hour.
Exactly.
I mean, like, boom.
Yeah. What
Mic
more?
Drop.
And also, Father, since we're talking about Mark, he also helped Peter. Like I used to have some people help me through school. Well, Peter was there to get some help through Mark. But he wrote a 1 Peter. And I thought of why you want to enthrone the Sacred Heart.
Mm.
And then you
he
can,
always brings
you,
us
you
back.
Can close, Father, with this. Come to him, a living stone, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I think he wants our homes.
Absolutely.
To be spiritual.
Yeah.
To be centered on Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter's talking about.
Well, and he wants us to be holy, but he wants the place where we live to be focused on the Lord.
In a place of refreshment.
Yeah. In a place of peace. Well, the Sacred Heart Hour,
there
it always
we
goes
are.
Fast.
Yes, it does.
So, as you look ahead to the rest of the month of April, our prayer is with you as we journey through the Easter season. And we hope that you will consider, as a result of this time spent with us during this hour, bringing the heart of Jesus into your own heart and into your home and into your life. And we invite you to join us as we bring to a close this Sacred Heart Hour on this first Friday of the month. Most kind Jesus, we humbly kneel at thy feet. We renew the consecration of ourselves to your divine heart. Be our King forever. In you we have full and entire confidence. May thy Holy Spirit penetrate our hearts, our desires, our words, and our deeds. Bless our undertakings, share in our joys and in our trials and in our labors, and grant us to know you better, to love you more, and to serve you without faltering. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.